Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, the Suncast. How you doing, John?
How's it going?
It's just us this week. Me and you.
Yeah, just like, us. Yeah. We just got busy and forgot to ask people, so.
That actually did happen. We got very busy and we forgot to ask people. And when we asked people, it was like really late and we looked like jerks telling them to come on like an hour before the show. Nevertheless, we are here. We are going to have fun. We're going to hang out. We're going to talk about stuff.
We're going to talk about stuff.
We are going to talk about stuff.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. You know, John and I were talking earlier today about LED lights. And, I've decided this year, whenever a light bulb goes, I'm going to replace it with an LED light. That's the only way you could really do this
you're,
affordably.
You're talking about different LED lights. There's just regular LED light bulbs, and what you're talking about, I think what we were talking about were smart bulbs.
Yeah, so like I'm doing both. I'm doing both, right? Like, I don't think it's necessary. Actually, here's a couple of the issues, right? Like, the Philips Hues are great, but they're kind of outdated at this point. They're old by smart light standards go. So I ordered, do you remember the name of them, John? What I got? I actually ordered it.
No.
Lumix? It's called Lumix?
The LifeX?
Yeah, LifeX.
Okay, so you did order that.
I did order them, yeah. I ordered it today. Okay. You know, I said, let me do it, because by the time I wait for their review units to come, I'm not going to care about this anymore. That's normally what happens here.
Impulse buy.
Yeah, so let me do it. I have some in the Amazon thing. So I ordered two bulbs. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna put it in my bedroom because I have less lighting in there and it's easier to control than doing the living room and stuff like that. And I spend most of my time in there anyway. At night.
You don't want to spend all that money on doing a smart bulb for every fixture in your house.
Well, you know what? This is how I justified it. Right? If I'm buying it, I better get my money's worth. Right? Like, I better use it.
Yeah.
And if I, let's say, did my living room, I don't really spend a lot of time at night in the living room. So the light is never on. I spend most of the time at nighttime in my bedroom. So that's the only place I'm really turning on the lights for, a couple hours. So let me try it out there.
You're an agoraphobe.
I'm agoraphobe. I'm terrified of the dark. The secret. It's a big, deep, dark secret.
You have three rooms in your house that you use: kitchen, studio, and bedroom.
Barely the kitchen, actually. It's just actually most I sit in my bedroom all day and I stare at the wall and I wait for the next day to begin. That's pretty much how I live my life at this point. So the LifeX bulbs were the highest rated ones. By the way, this isn't in the show notes, but I wanted to talk about this before I totally forgot to do it, because a lot of people are interested in this. They're converting over. This year seems to be the big year for home automation. And the conversion
You got more HomeKit stuff coming out now.
A lot of HomeKit stuff coming out. So this one, this brand, seemed to be really, really highly rated. And I ordered two of these bulbs. Let me see here. I ordered these, the LifeX colors. They're equivalent to a 75-watt bulb, which is pretty bright. If you look at it, here's all the color set up. They also have, just regular white, where you could kind of adjust if you want a super hyper white or adjust it to a darker, more of a traditional light bulb color, which is pretty cool. I'm going to order the hi-hats for my living room if I'm happy with the quality of the other one. But here's the cool thing. These bulbs, by the way, this is not an ad. They're not paying me. I sent them an email hoping that they send me a couple of these so I could review, but I ended up buying it anyway. So this isn't an ad or anything. I did my research this morning on this thing.
Yeah, you just have no self-control.
Yeah, I do. So it connects to all these things, right? Like, it connects to Ifit. You could connect it to your Logitech remote. You could connect it to your phone. Ift. Isn't it Ifit?
Ift.
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 Ift. Okay, Ift.
It's not Ifit. It's Ift.
You could control with your Nest and all this stuff. Samsung smart things. I don't have a smart hub style thing like that. So for me, I'm just going to use my phone. At the end of the day, I'm curious to see how good the quality is, because I know these I have some LED bulbs that are like the cheaper ones, and they suck. Like, they really, like the $14 ones I'm talking about, they're not super cheap, but like $14-$20, they're horrible.
They're just white?
No, they're color. They do color also.
Oh, I've never used those.
So this one that I ordered, John, has color.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how much it sucks, because normally the color bulbs are horrendous.
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
It's LED, so they can be super bright.
Yeah. We'll see how good it is. You know, like, I saw the video and it looked pretty impressive.
So you're going to do an unboxing video and review and everything, or?
Maybe I'll take like a video shot once, you know, I set it up
you should do that like you did with the Microsoft Life Cam.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
You get another 100 couple thousand
YouTube
views.
Then monetize it.
You know what? I can't monetize on YouTube. Remember that? We're banned.
Ugh.
Yeah. Which our friend should fix that for us, actually. But here's the problem here, right? When you talk about home automation and like this bulb, you don't, it's already connected via Wi-Fi. Like, it connects and you're able to kind of control it without having to have a hub. There are other bulbs. Like, if I want to get like a bulb for my chandelier, these bulbs do not have Wi-Fi capabilities. So some of this stuff is never going to be able to connect properly.
No, but there's other solutions if you wanted to connect it. You could just hook it up to a sensor or something like a Wemo.
You could connect it to a sensor or a Wemo. I don't know. This is my first shot at this, at the home automated lighting and, you know, these smarter light bulbs.
Yeah, if you're talking about a chandelier, I'm not sure that a smart bulb would necessarily be the thing that you would want to do. I would think you want more of a smart switch of sorts.
Yeah, that's actually another idea. Yeah, maybe like a smart switch.
A chandelier by default normally has several bulbs.
Yeah, but you also
need...
you
wouldn't want every single one of those to be a smart bulb.
But you also would need everything to work together, right?
Yeah, well, this is the problem with home automation.
There's like a couple cool things, but they don't work with the other cool things. You know, everybody has their... Yeah. Everybody does something right. Not everything is done right, so we'll see what happens. I'm curious to see how happy I am with these. I'm getting them today, actually. It's crazy. I ordered them a couple hours ago and should be here today.
Shh.
I'll test it out tonight and see how good it is. I like the fact that, you know, you could have like a movie. I like that this was the thing. I watch most of my movies in my bedroom. It has like a movie mode, so it'll dim the lights for movie mode and like change the ambient lighting. So we'll see what happens. I'm curious about it. I know you're interested in it too, John. So it'll be a good.
Oh yeah,
good little,
I've considered getting something like a Philips Hue before.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see it. Hopefully, we'll all learn something from it. John, enough about light bulbs.
Yes.
Let's talk about something that's happening in the news.
Yes. Let's talk about some stuff.
Samsung Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge arriving March 11. We've been talking about this phone for a couple of weeks now, and been a lot of
because everything basically has been leaked.
Everything has been leaked. We've shown it. It looks beautiful. I like the look of it. Give me some of the specs. Give me some of the news on this.
Let me look at the notes here. So everything is basically already known. It ships with Android 6.0 Marshmallow. Both the S7 and S7 Edge are almost identical. They're going to have the octa-core Qualcomm Snapdragon 820 processor, 4 gigabytes of RAM, and a Exynos chipset, depending on where you buy one. But one of the major changes that people are trying to figure out to a degree is the fact that they went with a 12-megapixel rear camera sensor instead of a 16-megapixel camera like they did last year with the S6.
Yes.
Now, because they dropped down the megapixel sensor, they've opened up the aperture on the lenses to 1.7 and bumped up the pixel size on the sensor. So all of this is supposed to give you a better quality picture.
So it says an enhanced camera, first smartphone with dual pixel technology, has a fast autofocus and less blur, and a new advanced sensor for catching details in low light, capture moments as you actually see them. I have yet to see any real photos taken of this. And it's a little, that is the only alarming thing. You know, the reviewers were a week away, probably a week and a half away. And a lot of the reviewers, like the CNETs and everything, they've had hands-on experience, but there's been no real shots that they've taken. So I don't know how much of an improvement over the S6 we're going to see. The S6 has a phenomenal camera. I mean, it's a stunning camera. The best camera.
That's what people say every year. You know what? They say the same thing about the iPhone. I don't know how much better it's really going to be compared to the iPhone 6.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much better it's going to be. That's the thing. I'm hoping it's better because I think I'm going to buy one. I have the S6 here. I have the regular S6, not the Edge, and it's a little small for me. It's 5.1 inches, and I kind of got used to the OnePlus where it's 5.5, and this was a little small for me.
You're spoiled. You know that?
Well, you know what? You have the same problem, right? You know, it's that
in
between.
I don't know, because I'm still using an iPhone 5.
You are using an iPhone 5, yeah. Well, we'll wait till the iPhone 7 comes and we'll get you one, because it's silly to get the 6S at this point. The other improvement here is battery life. You have a much larger battery in these phones. And here is the most awesome part, okay? So there is no there's no storage options. Everything comes with 32 gigs.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about this because the Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge only comes in 32 gigabyte of internal memory.
Yes.
You want to expand that memory, you had to get a micro SD card, which you weren't getting with the previous versions.
No, you were not getting a micro SD. And this is awesome, actually, the fact that you could.
So you're okay with this then?
Oh, yeah, I love it. The fact that I could change the storage if I need more storage. I mean, think about it. You're paying for a 32 gig one. Like right now, the one I have here is 64. You pay for a 32 gig one. You get a micro storage if you need more storage. And you just pop in and you could get another 64 gigs or up to 200 gigs, I heard. Yeah, 200 up to 200 gigs. With no cloud no clouds and no hard drive. I mean, everything is yours. It's right on there. That's awesome. Are you not a fan of the expandable memory?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
I just think it's an interesting change that, you know, Android started off, you know, everybody's got this expandable micro SD storage. Then they stopped doing that for a while, and now they're back doing it again. And it just seems like a roller coaster of a ride. All right,
yeah.
Well,
pick one. So that's a good thing you brought up. So with the evolution of all these phones, we've gotten less and less expandability and less upgradability, right? Like, the fact that you could take your battery out of your phone was a great option for people. People love that. They used to be able to, you know, swap phones, swap batteries. And
yeah,
due to the phones getting smaller and smaller and thinner, everything is now internal. You can't open it. The fact that, you know, Samsung is playing with the idea.
That's not necessarily true.
Okay, tell me why.
We'll get to that.
Okay. That's interesting. Ah, the next story, yeah. Also comes with Marshmallow, which is the latest and the greatest version of Android. Little fun fact, the S6 has yet to get Marshmallow. And Marshmallow's been out for how long, John? It was announced about a year ago?
I don't keep track of this stuff anymore.
Yeah. So I still
do not
have
certain things I just don't keep track of anymore. When what version of Android is available for what,
yeah,
when it comes out. What it does and specs for phones. It's such an incremental thing these days, and it's gotten to the point where it's a cycle. Every year you're going to get a new version of Android, and it's going to take, you know, up to a year for everybody else, unless you're running vanilla Android, to get that update.
Yeah.
So why care about what version it comes with? Because it's just, that's the cycle. There's nothing you can do about it. And it's same with the specs. Every year, you're just going to have incremental changes with the hardware. Is it better? Yes. We were just talking about this before we started the show. As long as they keep improving upon the specs and it works right, I don't care what it has in it.
Yeah. So here is some more specs. The Galaxy S7 Edge, which is a 5.5-inch display, is going to have a 3,600 milliamp battery, very large battery, and the S7 is going to have a 3,000 milliamp battery, much larger than this. I think this is like 2,800, 2,700, so you're getting a lot more battery life in this phone. It is also water resistant, and I saw some of the demos of how it functions,
mm-hmm,
and it looks really good. The fact that, I mean, they're like drenching this thing in water, and it's like functioning fine. Right? I mean,
yeah,
really,
but will it blend?
It what?
Will it blend?
Will it blend? That's a very good question. So going to the next story, since we're on the phone topic.
So this is kind of interesting. Also at Mobile World Congress, which is the big thing that's going along, and I think where is it this year? Barcelona? Is that where they have it? Yeah. Or somewhere in Europe?
Yeah.
They also announced the LG G5. This is something that a lot of people are very excited about. It's the next generation. The G4 was pretty good, but everybody is now really excited about G5. And it's got quite a different design. So it comes with everything that you would expect, the Snapdragon 820 and 4 gigabytes of RAM. But what really sets this one apart from other devices, even the Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge, is that it has a removable battery. This is so cool the way that this works.
Do you see how it comes out?
Yeah, there's just a little tiny button on the bottom of this phone, and it pops out. And they're calling this modular, which is really exciting. The fact that they've thought up a really nifty way for you to be able to swap out batteries. So when you have one battery that's drained, you can easily just pop this thing out, put in another battery, and you're good to go again. So, but not only that, it's something that you can change out. Not just the battery, but you can put in other modules and expand what this device can do.
So Google was playing with this idea, right? Remember a couple of years ago, Google was playing around with the idea?
Yeah, there's a couple of companies that have come out with this modular type of phone, but this isn't full-blown modular, but it's a good compromise of being able to swap out your battery and do a couple of other nifty little things. For example, you can swap it out for a higher quality audio processor from Bang & Olufsen, which is really cool. Or if you prefer a little extra control over the camera, there's a Cam Plus module, which offers a chunky grip with a two-stage shutter button and a 4,000 milliamp battery.
So wait a minute.
And a jog dial for precision zooming, which is really cool.
Okay, so explain what that is.
It's a little bit ugly, but the fact that you actually have this ability now to swap out components of this phone in a way that seems extremely smart, not just, you know, this Frankenstein looking modular device that's cobbled together. This looks very smart.
Okay, so
I'm
trying to figure out what this is.
Change modules.
Okay, the LG Camera Plus, right? More control and power. So what does this do exactly? What is this?
It's a bigger battery.
Okay.
And it has shutter buttons and a jog dial for precision zooming.
Okay, so you could zoom a little better. They also have a lot of accessories that go with this, like the LG 360 cam. So you can do 360 video. The LG 360 VR was announced. And it has an always-on display. So you never have to click, you know, to see your messages. It's always on. I'm curious, did you see where the buttons are on this? Is it on the back or the side?
Does it matter?
Yes, it does.
Because I'm not aware that button placement matters.
For me, it did. And I'll tell you why. I had the LG G2, right?
Yes.
And they put the buttons, they took the buttons off the side and they put everything on the back. And they had it because they said the more natural way to do things is like this, instead of having to fiddle around with your finger like this. Then they realized
that they do with the new Nexus devices.
Yeah. So then the question was, okay, so how do you, every time you want to like see the display, you got to take it and go like this and then put it down. So they added the double click. You could tap on it to wake the display. It was not good. I do not like the buttons being in the back. But with that said, this seems like a really interesting design, a very unique design. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's got me a little bit excited, and I don't normally get excited about smartphones anymore.
Yeah, listen, I haven't had an LG in a while. I had the LG G2. My brother has an LG G3. He likes his G3.
Yeah.
I hated my G2. I don't like his G3. I heard good things about the G4 and now the G5. This seems really, really fascinating that they are. You know what? This is the way to be unique in the Android marketplace, right? You want to stand out. Every one of these phones looks the same. Every single phone that exists looks exactly like the next phone. If I took all the logos off these phones and I lined them up next to each other, I guarantee you the most enthusiast of enthusiasts will have a difficult time knowing what phone is what.
Yeah, if you're just looking at the screen itself.
Yeah, you're just looking at the screen itself. No. I etch off the Samsung thing, and I take off all branding, and I line these phones up, and I say, okay.
I think some people could tell based on the look of the device, they could tell. But if you're just looking at the screen, I think you're going to have a very tough time.
Yeah,
but
majority of people will not have a clue. You know what I mean? Like, you look at it, it's going to be difficult to tell. But mm-hmm. because there's so much you could do with a design. What can you do with a smartphone design? Everybody's going to look the same at this point. LG having a modular functionality, adding modular functionality to their phone, really interesting. You know, there are people
It solves one of those things that people complain so much about is being able to replace that battery. And I think they solved this in a very smart way where it pops out now from the bottom with a small, tiny button. And it just seems like it makes so much sense. Like, why didn't we think of this before?
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting design. Very unique design. I'm hoping that the reviews are positive on this because we could use another Android phone. That's a good phone, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Going to another story, John.
So I want to get your thoughts on this Boston Dynamics video that's going around. Everybody is super excited about this video. Boston Dynamics has this robot called Atlas, and they've shown it off in previous versions, but they've got a new version out that's so improved, it's scaring people, literally.
I could
can you bring up the video?
Yeah, here it is. I can't full screen it, remember that, but...
Okay.
First of all, it looks like it's an animation, right?
Kind of, yes.
Yeah. Look at it. It opened the freaking door, and it walked outside.
They've had previous versions of this where it was tethered, where it was much larger, where I think earlier versions were like 6 foot something and over 300 pounds. This version that we're looking at on the video right now is 5 foot nine and 200 something pounds, I think, which is insane. No, 180 pounds, excuse me.
And this is how they take over the world. Look at that thing. This is how the robots take over.
And you can see it's a bipedal robot, and it's got extreme balance control.
John, this is how the robots win. Look at that thing. Yeah. Why do you need to hire someone? Just get
fast
a couple
forward
of these...
into the later part of the video where they're actually being a dick to the robot.
Yeah.
That's the most interesting part where you see the guy with the hockey stick.
Didn't you feel, don't
basically
you feel sad
knocking
for
around
him?
This box out of the robot's hands. And yeah, this part right here. And the robot is just figuring all this stuff out on its own. And it's just incredible that this robot is responding as well as it is.
You know what? That robot's going to remember that he did that one time and just murder him and his family. Look at this. What a jerk.
And then this part right here where they just push it down.
Aww.
And it literally gets back up on its own.
Wow. Look at that. Yeah, this is how we all die, guys. You know? This is how we all die.
Skynet.
Yeah, this is it. It's over. Just we've lost the battle. These freaking things in about 100 years. These freaking things are going to enslave us.
People. I showed this video to my dad, and he was like, oh, man, we're in for it now.
Yeah, it's the end of the world as we know it.
That's pretty cool that they've got this much control. So as you can see in the video, it's adept both indoors and in the wild with sensors in the body and legs for balance, plus LiDAR and stereo sensors in its head for navigation and avoidance. Sadly, even with this advanced technology, Atlas is still subject to varying levels of abuse by human trainers. So that's, I mean, it's cool that this robot can do a lot of things, but
yeah,
I think there's a lot of sympathy for this robot at the same time.
I feel bad for the robot.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm on your side, robots. When the day comes and you're enslaving people and you go through your directory to find out, you know, who said what and what happened, I felt bad for you guys and don't murder me. Just let me live. I'm talking to robots now. This is what I'm doing at this very moment. Going to another story, John. That was actually a really interesting.
So, Andrew, have you ever used Siri?
I have. Very little, though.
What
I
do you
really
think
don't.
Of Siri? Is it something that you find useful?
I think Google Now is far more useful than Siri. I use Google Now almost every single day.
Okay. So, according to sources for 9to5 Mac, Siri is finally coming to Mac OS X later this year. This is something that a lot of people that use Mac OS X, such as yourself, have been saying for a long time that, you know, we've had it for several years now, over 3 years for iOS, and yet we still don't have it for Mac OS X.
Yeah,
what do you think about the fact that it's possibly now coming to Mac?
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be a feature in OS 10.12, which is going to be showed at WWDC in June and released a few months later. Supposedly, it's almost as straightforward as you see on iOS. You have to click on a menu button and say, or just say, "Hey Siri," and it does what it does. I think it's about time that it's coming over to the Mac. You know, just another way to bridge that gap between Macs and iOS. You know, with the Mac OS and iOS. I don't know. I don't use Google Now on my desktop. You know, via the Google website. I don't use Cortana either. I know people that do. I think this is specific. You know, if you use it, it's going to be great. If you don't use it, you don't really care about it. Right?
Yeah. That's how I see it. I don't use Siri much myself either, and I would never use Cortana on my desktop. So
I do use Google Now every single day on my phone. It's far easier for me to say, okay, Google.
I also think...
play jazz. Let's see if...
Yeah, but Siri can do that.
It can, yeah.
I think a lot of it comes down to habit, you know, getting into the habit. If you're not into that habit, because like I've started now getting into the habit of using Siri to remind me of stuff, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I use this for
reminders. Hey, Siri, remind me such and such time to do such and such.
I don't know how to turn it off now. Great.
That's the robots taking over.
Yeah, the robots have taken over, guys. I think this is cool. If you use Siri, then it's going to be great for you. Yeah. Facebook hopes you'll send birthday wishes in a 15-second video. Facebook this week also, they added emojis to the like button.
Yeah, they changed their Facebook like button with reactions.
With reactions. Happy face, sad face, angry face. Thumbs up, you know, you have
but no poop emoji.
No poop emoji. You know what? They need to add a poop emoji. I can't wait for that. They added that, and now they're hoping that you're going to send 15-minute happy birthday videos. You know,
15-second.
15-second, I'm sorry. 15-minute happy birthday videos. Jeez. Just horrible. I don't know if people are actually going to use this. Maybe they are. You know, your grandma, your mom, maybe it's going to record something, wish you happy birthday. Facebook has made it inexcusable to forget someone's birthday now. You know, like it's right in your face, and there's no excuse for you to not remember someone's birthday. So I guess this is, they've realized that this is a feature.
There's a lot of people that still won't even take the 2 seconds it takes to write happy birthday on your wall.
At this point, it writes it for you.
I know, but there's still people that don't do it. Like that, to me, it's so easy, and it's just such a nice gesture that you can't take 2 seconds to wish a friend a happy birthday.
You know what this is
on Facebook?
You know what
this
is reeking of? This entire thing is reeking of Facebook's research and development division. They looked at what people use Facebook the most for, and they probably saw it some astronomical amount of people rely on Facebook for happy birthday requests, and someone suggested, well, what if they could record a 15-second video? That's exactly what this is. Listen, I think people are going to use it. I just don't want to have... you know, my a-hole friends recording 15-second videos and posting it on my wall, and it's like totally obscene. You know what I mean? You know,
maybe
like
you got the wrong kind of friends, Andrew.
I do. I have a lot of bad friends. My friends are not good people. I have horrible, horrible people as friends. Just the worst of the worst, really. Garbage people, as I like to refer to them. I'm the king of the garbage people.
You are.
I am. We have one more story here, John. You want to go into it?
Yeah, sure. So YouTube has added a new feature or a new tool for creators. Mm-hmm. It's a blurring tool that lets you motion track items in a video and blur it out after you've uploaded the video. So say, for example, you wanted to blur out something that really wasn't supposed to be in the video, like say a phone number or something else in the video that you forgot about.
Sure.
Well, now with this Facebook blurring feature, you can go back in that video, drag a box around it, and Facebook will blur that area out and motion track.
YouTube will.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That's not that bad. It seems like a useful thing. I just don't know how many of their YouTube creators are relying on the YouTube editor.
Nobody.
Yeah, I'm curious.
That's a piece of junk.
You know, I tried to use it because you refused to edit something.
Everybody
for me
has
once.
Tried to use yeah. it and failed.
You were having a bad day and you didn't want to edit something for me one time, and I was like, oh, you know what? Screw Stuncast. I'll go and I'll do it myself. And I was like, this is a piece of garbage.
Yeah, and this tool kind of looks like it has the same interface. So I'm yeah. like, you know, if it takes any more work than just dragging a box around the object that you want to blur, this ain't gonna work.
Yeah, but you know what? I know people that do use the YouTube creator that editor, and you know they don't know how to edit. They don't do any of that, and they use it, and it's fine for them. It's great. So
it's such a piece of junk. Like I could do the same action so much quicker using any other video editor. Literally. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
You could do it faster on your freaking phone.
Yeah, you can actually. You could edit it faster on your phone. Yeah. That's it, guys. Quick stories here and there today. I like this rapid pace stuff. I had fun doing the show with you, John.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. Hey, guys, we have our Pro Wrestling Tees store up and running. Now, it's not just about pro wrestling. We have our GFQ shirts on there. I'm going to post a link in our chat room. It's prowrestlingtees.com/mattmen. We have a bunch of shirts on there. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Pro Wrestling Tees.
I put it in the chat room for
you. Did you find it? Yeah, but I can't. Yeah. Oh, I can do it. Can I click on that? Let's see. I got to do it this way. Sorry. I should have been more prepared with this because I just saw that they added it, and then I saw that one of the shirts is not the right color.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So here is our store, and you can see
add some more.
They did, yeah. Eat, Sleep, Podcast, Repeat. We have the GFQ Subway logo. We have the stamp. We have this one. This is actually not the right color. I didn't get it in like the sport gray. I wanted it in a remember the mock-up I sent you, John, of this? It was like this faded yellow.
It was a yellowish color, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like an orangey-yellow color.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should keep this or not. I don't know. We'll see. This is another one that we have. So we have a bunch of stuff in the store. If you want to buy one. Check it out. This is the classic GFQ
stamp. I
kind of like
the Eat, Sleep, Podcast, Repeat one.
You what?
I kind of like the Eat, Sleep, yeah. Podcast, Repeat one.
That's your design. That's what you made. Eat, Sleep, Podcast, Repeat, which I think I'm gonna get this one. A lot of cool stuff on there. Check it out. ProWrestlingTees.com/mattmen. Also, if you want to fund us, you want to help us out, you can do so by going to patreon.com/whatthetech. You can fund us there. And if you're buying something on Amazon, boys and girls, use our Amazon link. It's gfq.co/Amazon. That's gfq.co/Amazon. Whenever you buy something, we get a small portion of the sale. It goes to us. And I bought those lights today to play around with. So always a big help. You can follow John on Suncast by going to Twitter. You can follow John on Suncast by going to Twitter. You can follow Suncast.
Hey, by the way, Andrew, I'm also doing some podcast editing on Fiverr now.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I know a lot of people have been kind of asking about if I do podcast editing on the side, because I do a lot of stuff here at GFQ behind the scenes. I do like all the videos, and I even do post-processing on them. So I'm now on Fiverr. So if you want my help editing your podcast, you know, make it sound really awesome, you just go to fiverr.suncast.com or look me up on Fiverr. I'm under Suncast on there as well.
Okay, fiverr.suncast.com. Let's pull this up, boys and girls. There you are, podcast editing. Mm-hmm. You edit podcasts. Look at this. You can start. It starts at $5. So
$5. I've got other packages. So if you wanted to add like intro, outro, or background music, I can do that as well.
Yeah.
I'll, you know, if you got background noise, I can remove that stuff.
Noise gate, good. Noise reduction, compression, EQs, you do all that stuff. This is awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. We got to get this on the website. We got to plug this. Fiverr.suncast.com. If you need audio edited, your podcast mixed and mastered, go there. Until next time, America, be strong and God bless. See you next time.